Radio. Hey, good morning or good afternoon. Yes, I forgot what time it was. It's 12:15 and it's 12:16. It just turned over there. And you're listening to A Progressive Voice. Let's get on the line and see if we've got Dr. Feynman. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I had a great time listening about Chubby Checker and Bobby Vincent and other groups.
You're of the right era, right?
Yes, and actually, I've been, not recently, but I was to a Bobby Vincent concert sometime in the past. And I looked him up. He's 86 years old now.
Wow.
And Chubby Checker is 80.
Huh. That's interesting.
They're older than us.
Older than dirt, that is. Yeah. It's hard to imagine that, we were kind of arguing about whether Chubby Checker would draw. See, I don't know if you know this, but Marion is fairly popular or fairly well known in this area. Excuse me. I had to cough there.
Well, a lot of older people live in Marion, right?
Yeah, true. And where was I going with that? I forgot what I was going to tell you.
Oh, I understand you guys pay $50,000. That seems pretty good. But actually, I would think most people get paid more. I think that's low price, actually, for somebody to come.
Well, you would think so. But, that if he's getting, half of that up front for himself and his band.
Yes.
You do that a few times. Well, you do that 200 times a year. That's going to mount up to some money.
Well, but he's not going to do it 200 times at age 80. I don't think
maybe
so.
Not.
I would
maybe
think
not.
It's less often, wouldn't you think?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But, I'm thinking, I've seen Paul McCartney, fantastic, a few years ago. I've seen Cher years ago. I've seen Elton John and Billy Joel. They're just great. And they, and I also saw Neil Diamond. Unfortunately, he's not singing anymore.
Yeah.
And Neil Sedaka is still around,
Yeah.
It was a great era, it really was. But, I think it is true that Scott is right, that people from that era, I think they get more of a crowd than, the newer people, because they can join not only the old-timers, but often their children, who are not little kids, people in their 40s and 50s will have an effect. And, I just think it is harder now for entertainers who are younger to get the kind of audiences the older ones do.
And they seem to be an awful lot of flash in the pans.
Oh, yeah. Like Fabian. Remember Fabian?
Yeah, sure do. Yeah.
I actually was at a concert with Fabian and Frankie Avalon and Bobby Vitale. They weren't very good, though.
Well, you've been to a lot of concerts. I've only been to one concert other than the ones I was playing in. The only one concert I went to was Ike and Tina Turner. That shows you how old that
was. Well, I've gone to a lot of concerts in the last, I'd say, 20 years, and I have gone to a lot, yes.
Yeah, well, I just don't like paying that much money to go sit, 120 rows back to see people. Well,
I also don't like, now I would not be as anxious to do it because of people being too close to each other.
Yeah.
And also, I find a lot of these concerts, they're always people, and I'm not saying it to be sexist, but they're usually women who act berserk. They raise their arms and they scream and yell, and I just say, why do you have to do that? Why can't you act human?
Yeah.
To me, I don't. Some guys do that, but not as much. I don't want anybody attacking me as a sexist. But one time I was with a friend, and this woman was next to me, and she was moving arms into my space.
Yeah.
So my friend said, switch seats with me. And then he, and then when she did that, he knocked and he said, too close, you're in my space. And she gave him a glare, but she stopped doing it.
Well, people ought to learn about, that's one of the problems we're having in this current society. We don't care about other people.
But this was more than 10 years ago, the incident I'm telling you about.
Yeah.
It's getting worse, though. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well. We will try to do our best at concerning ourselves with other people's space. But we don't do a very good job of that. That's true. I hate people. Yeah. Have you ever watched a baseball game where the umpire and the batter get right in each other's face?
Yes.
Nose to nose, within 2 inches of each other.
Yes.
The only thing I can think of is, I wonder how bad their breath is.
Talk about that. Talk about how people mistreat others. I am shocked about what happened in Dayton, Ohio, with this African-American paraplegic who was dragged out of his car. That's unbelievable. I mean, he said he's paraplegic. What is wrong with those police in that particular situation?
Well, I don't want to blame all police for it.
No, of course not.
Yeah, that's kind of bad, not bad manners. That's just bad form completely.
But I wonder if the Republican candidates for the Senate, Josh Mandel and J.D. Vance, would disagree with the police or probably agree with them.
No,
they're
I'm
so
sure
outrageously
they
horrible.
I'm sure they would agree with them. Yeah. Now, and I agree.
Tim Ryan has to save Ohio is the way I look at it, even though he's not perfect, but he's so much better.
Well, maybe. Anyway, there have been a lot of things going on this week in this.
Always, every week is never a lack of material.
And do you find it depressing to watch news anymore?
I watch less of the news. I read more, but I do watch less of the news. And as I said, I don't write on Facebook. The only thing I do on Facebook, I look at certain articles, a few, but I don't comment or post them. The only thing is this show and the Sunday show when I'm on it, I post that I'm going to be on it. And my blog entries on The Progressive Professor, and whenever I publish an article on History News Network, that's the only ones, except for my son, who works for the Conservation Lands Foundation, and the big victory about Joe Biden reversing what Trump did with those national monuments out west in Utah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when he posted
I
said hooray and posted what he had said, you know.
Yeah.
But basically, I'm not posting except for these few situations. And the whole idea of my older son is he said, it will lower your blood pressure, and I'm hoping that's true.
Was he involved in that Bear's Ears thing?
Yes, he's the lobbyist for the Conservation Lands Foundation in D.C.
Cool.
So he's on Capitol Hill a lot. He wasn't, of course, for a period of time, but now he is again.
Well, we'll have to get him on here.
He's that guy in D.C.
All right. Cool. And I knew he was in D.C. I just didn't realize he was involved in that sort of thing.
But. He's an environmental lobbyist. That's exactly what he is, and he's been doing this for about, I think it's 3 or 4 years now, but he's before that he was involved with other lobbying for the Jewish Federation and for the Holocaust groups, different groups, so he's gone to different fields of lobbying,
Full
nonprofit groups.
Yeah, I know what he would say to me on this, but I'd like to ask him, does he think we should do away with lobbyists, not make it now, of course, you're always going to have lobbyists, but...
Yeah, why would they get rid of the profit lobbyists, all these corporations, but of course, it's not going to happen.
Well,
but this is non-profit. These are groups that are trying to promote causes of groups like the Jewish Federation or the environmental groups, but that's not the same as the General Motors or for Standard Oil or groups like that. That's for-profit, and they get paid a lot better. I mean, makes a nice living, but he doesn't get the money the lobbyists for the big corporations get.
Well, it comes down to money, doesn't it? I mean, if we would put a limit, you could not hire a lobbyist for more than $50,000 a year.
That's a joke.
It's
never
going
to happen because the Republicans would never allow it.
Well,
any Democrats wouldn't either.
Well, but you'd get down to people that really care about what they're arguing about.
Yes.
But as it is, they're just hired guns anymore. Your son probably is just a hired gun for the... I mean, there are people that are saying he's a hired gun for the environmental people.
Well, if you don't like the environmental movement trying to regulate development, but I don't think of him as a hired gun, and I don't think he would see himself as that.
No.
You know, I think he sees himself as committing to the cause that Theodore Roosevelt promoted, that Richard Nixon, imagine that, promoted, second best environmental president, that Jimmy Carter did, that Barack Obama did, and now, Biden has reversed what Trump did to damage, those monuments that both Clinton and Obama had promoted earlier.
Yeah.
So it's a real big step forward. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm happy for it, too, and I'm happy your son has work. I'm just, the thing that bothers me is that we have so much money involved in decision-making as opposed to people that really care.
That's why the social infrastructure bill is going to be a something, but it's not going to be what it was designed to be because we have too much opposition, and particularly of two Democrats, because this is only the fourth time that we've had an evenly divided Senate in U.S. history, and that gives Sinema and Manchin much too much power, but we'll have to settle for maybe $2 trillion, not $3.5 trillion, and it's over probably 5 years, and hopefully they can be extended later on if hopefully the Democrats keep the presidency and Congress in the future. But you have to go for little victories when you can't get it all.
Yeah, I was watching some talking heads yesterday, and the point was, it's better to get something done than nothing. And
yes,
he was saying he didn't really think that nothing was an option.
Well, who said this? What station were you watching?
I was watching MSNBC, and it was a young man with lots of hair, and I really like, he's kind of a liberal.
Oh, you're talking about the African-American guy from Politico?
No.
Forgot his name is, yeah. You're talking about Chris Hayes?
No.
At 8 o'clock?
No. I can't remember.
Okay,
it's not
essential. But it's a talking head, or is it a person who was asked to be on a panel?
No, he was on a panel.
Oh, okay. Well, there's lots of different people on that.
I call them all the time.
They will definitely do something, but if it's $2 trillion, not $3.5 trillion, they're talking about maybe making only five. Actually, I heard that Pelosi said 5 years, not 10.
Yep.
Maybe they can't plan that far ahead, so they do for 5.
Yeah. Well,
maybe they can do everything, but they'll have to re-extend it. Or if the Republicans are in, they'll probably abolish it after 5 years. That's the only thing.
Well, that will cut the cost if they cut it back to 5 years. They could really bring it back to $2 trillion, I'm guessing, just by cutting the time in half.
Yes. And one of the things I wanted to do was have dental, eyes, and ear care on Medicare, which I think they should do, and also to lower the age to 60. For Medicare. That would be great.
Yeah, I think all these things that they're suggesting are great, but I think they're going to have to find some things that they'll have to pass on. And those two things that you just mentioned are things that I think would be on the chopping block.
Except senior citizens vote more than younger people.
That's true.
Senior citizens, I've even read, they're not happy with Joe Biden because they think he's too concerned about others. Everybody thinks about their own age group only. And I think, you know, you can't afford to alienate the elderly. I really don't think you can, because they vote.
Yeah.
And they are switchable. You think they're mostly Democrats, but these days, every group, there's a number, you know, there's a certain percentage of Latinos voting Republican or conservative, anyway, as they call them. A certain percentage of blacks are, and certainly some Jews are, about a third. They drive me crazy. You know, these people, you know, that only thing Israel is the only issue that matters, nothing else. But I'm sorry, it's more than Israel. So I have somebody I know who wrote me that Bernie Sanders is a communist. And I wrote back and I said, look, you and I are friends, but that's ridiculous. He's not a communist, and he's not anti-Semitic. And I said, it's just crazy the things people say. And they're supposed to be intelligent, but it makes you realize that many people have lost their minds right now.
Yeah, and people connect socialism with communism almost like they're twin sisters, you know.
Bernie Sanders is a socialist like in the Scandinavian countries. That's not dangerous. They have better social concerns about people than any other country in the world. And the country is not a dictatorship, Sweden or Norway or Denmark. It's ridiculous, you know.
Well, and Scott and I were talking about the countries that are the happiest in our...
That's them.
It's either Sweden or Switzerland or Denmark. It's one of those that supposedly is the happiest country.
I think
in
Denmark,
world.
Actually,
And, you know, hey, they're not run by the almighty dollar. Well, they don't have the dollar.
Oh, they're not. But actually, maybe it's an argument many seniors should move there.
Hey, I'll tell you what. If things keep going the way they go, the way they're going right now, and we decide to do away with democracy, I may move somewhere. I'm not going to hang around here.
You're also, in this hemisphere, Costa Rica is always very stable and democratic. The only one in Central America. A lot of people have moved to Costa Rica, retired people.
Now, when I was in Costa Rica the last time, this is kind of interesting.
Oh, you were, huh?
Yeah. We toured Central and South America when I was with the Army Field Band.
That's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago, yeah. But when we were...
The last century.
It was...
The last millennium.
Actually, it might have been closer to the half of the last century.
I'm just teasing you, that's before 2000. I'm just kidding.
Yes, it was before 2000. But we were there, and we talked with some of the people, the politicians in Costa Rica, and it was kind of a rough time to be in Costa Rica. And I can't,
oh, really?
Yeah, and I was told by one of the gentlemen, he asked me, how did you get into the service? And I told him that I had enlisted. And he said, well, you know how we enlist down here in Costa Rica? We throw all the Indians on the back of the truck, and the ones that are smart enough to jump off aren't drafted.
Ooh, that's and a horrible thing to say.
Yeah, it was a horrible thing to say, but
Ow. That's
kind of the way they did things down in Costa Rica.
Now, my image, from what I've read, I haven't been there, is that it's a democratic country, very stable, and it's often called the Switzerland of Central America.
Well,
or,
it wasn't
of Latin America. I don't know. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe the image is wrong. But certainly it's not a dictatorship like the other countries usually have been, or authoritarian-oriented around it.
Right. Now, I think when I was there, it might have been a dictatorship, but things change in...
I have to look it up. I think they've been a democratic country at least since World War II, I think. And them in Chile, and then Chile lost it in the 70s when the president was overthrown, and we had a dictatorship put in by Nixon and Kissinger, or helped by Nixon and Kissinger. And then in 1990, Chile came back to being democratic. But I just know generally the image is Costa Rica is very democratic, but maybe there was a period, as far as Indians or Native Americans, Native groups, that's everywhere we have that problem. Even in Canada, they've been but still we call Canada a democracy, but boy, what a comment for somebody to make 50 years ago. Oh, my God.
And he was a politician, too, down there.
Oh, my God.
So maybe he just didn't like the Native
Costa
Ricans.
It's also showing up in how many Native Americans disappear every year, but particularly women. And it seems like nobody makes an effort to find them, and there's so much discrimination. I don't like to say racism, but it's unbelievable what goes on all the time. Even like this Benson Harbor in Michigan, a new city. What I mean by city that now has a drinking water problem, like Flint, Michigan. It's a primarily black area. Why is this happening? Why is this going on that we have certain areas where water is not pure, it has lead in it? It's just infuriating,
We used to have a tri-state sailboat race that I was involved in every year, and one of the stops was Benton Harbor. And
Benton Harbor, yeah.
But we did not go into Benton Harbor. We stayed in the yacht club. We just went into the... and spent the night there and then took off and went to the other two cities.
So it had an image of being not safe, huh?
No, it was just when you're on a sailboat race, you don't your time's not your own. You know you have to hit the line at 7:30 in the morning, and you have to be whenever you get there. You really better get in bed because you've been racing all day. I really don't know why we didn't go into Benton Harbor, but Benton Harbor. By the way,
after the Flint, Michigan problem with lead and water, that they didn't check elsewhere and make sure. This is so, and they're heavily minority area. I mean, it's just ridiculous,
I'm not sure this is a fact, but I believe, that Whirlpool has a big factory here in Marion, Ohio, and they make dryers here, but I believe that Benton Harbor is the home office of Whirlpool. So
really?
So
I don't know. But all I can say is, I know they're responsible. It's the city and the state that are responsible for water supply, not Whirlpool. But
yeah, no.
I can't believe it. I don't want to think every day that this issue of discrimination against different people of color continues, but it does.
Oh,
in so many ways,
I'm sure it does.
I wish it didn't.
Yeah, me too. And every day that I watch television or I go to Columbus or, I go to places where there are lots of people of color and different, backgrounds, I am so proud of the United States for bringing them all in. And then we have people that hate that we allow.
But this is a nation of immigrants all along in the past.
Absolutely.
It was the Irish were picked on and the Italians and the Jews and the Poles, and now it's different groups. Yeah.
Yeah, and now we don't like people that come from Haiti.
Yes.
All those bad people trying to go across the Rio Grande so that they get into the United States.
And have a better life.
Yeah. They're saying you have a wonderful country. I want to live with you. They're not saying I hate you. I don't understand it at all.
It's sad that people have that and then they put it into their children's heads.
Yes.
So it continues to perpetuate itself. That's really bad.
It does indeed.
But I didn't bring up my kids that way, and my oldest son and my youngest son always had friends that were different backgrounds. They weren't all they weren't all white or Jewish. They were, one was Haitian, actually, he is, no, still knows them. One is Haitian, one is Italian, one is Chinese. I mean, you judge people as individuals, yeah, not as a group, you know?
Now, did you bring up your kids and talk about the Holocaust?
Yes, well, we definitely did talk about it, yes. And my son, as I said, worked for Holocaust, Holocaust groups trying to deal with, you know, with getting compensation from European nations like Germany and others, Poland and others. Yeah, he worked for them for 5 years, two Holocaust groups, yes.
Yeah, now, you know, when I was young...
And a lot of people don't even know the Holocaust, what it is.
Yeah.
Younger people don't even know it.
When I was young, I think I've told you this before, my father had a cottage on a lake, and everybody on the waterfront was Jewish. And I don't think I ever heard anybody talking about that sort of thing. Now, maybe back then...
What years? So about the 60s, I guess?
Yeah, we're talking the 60s, yeah. So maybe it just was something that wasn't
brought
up.
Well, but why would people, when you're on vacation, be talking about that?
Well, that's true.
But that's not a place you would.
But my parents sat around, Dad being a minister, sat around and talked about political things and talked about... life in general. And
but who were you talking to at the time, besides family itself?
The Gutmans, who lived next door to us, the Schindlers, who lived on the other side.
You know what it might be? Those families might have felt that when you're talking to people and you're on vacation and you're socializing, if you bring up uncomfortable issues, it may make others uncomfortable and they might want to back away from... people don't like to talk negative. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Which is a sad thing, but, you know, it's just like the old joke line. You come across somebody at work, how are you? Fine. If you go any further than fine, they stop listening.
And that's probably true, yeah. I don't
want to
hear
your troubles. I have my bad back today. I have this trouble. Yeah. Most people nod and want to walk away. You're just saying it to be friendly.
Hey, Dr. Feynman, did I tell you about my knee problems that I've been having?
And sure, you're not going to talk about trouble in the bathroom if you have it. You tell your doctor that. You don't tell everybody you meet, oh, I have troubles with number two today or number one.
Yeah, no, you don't do that. You try not to do that anymore.
Yeah, so it's true, though. It's a joke, but it's actually true. Most people just want to be friendly, but they don't want to get into details about what's bothering you.
Yeah, I don't really want to get that mental image going. Hey, tell me about, I'm going to go back to some of the things I pointed out in my ad.
Yes.
Have you, Joe Biden's numbers dropped drastically.
Because of the delay in getting anything done, and also because of Afghanistan, the exit, and people acting as if Trump's, if he had exited, which he was going to do in May, would have done it better. A lot of it's hypocrisy and propaganda from the right wing.
Well, his numbers shot back up, the 10 points that they had dropped this week, and there are people now saying that it might have just been an outlier, and it was only one poll that...
Yes, so you don't go by one poll. The point is, remember one thing, Trump never reached 50% in any poll, whether running or on anything he did.
Right.
So Biden's ahead of him. Got to remember that.
Well,
and Joe is a decent human being, a person of compassion and empathy, and that alone makes him stand out.
I think the current polls that they just came out, one of the polls says he's running at 50% and another at 48%, both of which are higher than Trump ever got to. So
yes, and the point is that other poll, I don't know which one it was, may have been skewed toward people who are conservative or Republican. You don't really know who's entering these polls. Polls, we've learned, polls are not very accurate a lot of the time. You know, they really aren't.
Have you ever been polled?
I wouldn't worry about that. Again, he does have to get something done, but it will be done with patience.
Yeah.
We can't do everything in a minute, but I think he will get a decent number of things done, and I think hopefully it will affect next year's midterms. God, it has to, you know.
Have you ever been polled?
No.
I
no, I've never been called, or maybe one time in a shopping mall, I think somebody asked me, and I said, I'm too busy. But
no.
never on the phone, no. Have you?
I think it was the Quinnipiac poll that dropped him way down, and they polled, believe it or not, my wife was called 3 days ago.
Oh.
And I listened to the whole thing. It took her 15 minutes to answer all the poll questions.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, twice she came over to me. And she put it on speakerphone so I could hear the questions.
Oh.
And she came over to me and kind of shrugged her eyes like, I don't know how to answer this. And I helped her answer a couple of the questions.
Oh, very nice.
It was quite involved in the questions that they asked her.
Well, one thing is she obviously was very, very positive on Joe Biden, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's why it's doing so well. Congratulations, your wife.
She's the one that brought it back
up. Well, it certainly helped.
It didn't hurt, I'll guarantee
the yeah, so thank you for me. I'm very proud of it.
Well, it was quite interesting. The questions were deeply involved. I mean,
which means you have to have somebody who knows what's going on. A lot of people don't know what's going on, but they might be in the poll anyway. And you know, yeah. And, but I'm very glad that she was able to contribute to it.
Well, there were a couple of questions that she said, "I'm not going to answer that because you haven't given me enough latitude." And they said, "That's fine."
Yeah.
So I suppose in those questions they put down no response or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, that was an interesting morning listening to them ask her
that's really nice. Yeah.
And I had never ever in my life been polled for anything that I could remember, even as a child. I don't remember ever being.
I'm curious, what did the phone say? Did it say Quinnipiac on when she picked up, or how did she know to pick up?
It was on her cell phone, so they had her cell phone number, and I don't think I think it did say what the name of the poll was, and so
Quinnipiac, huh?
Yeah, and
okay, that's because I wouldn't pick up the phone every time the phone rings, because
right.
You can have scam artists. But if it said Quinnipiac, yeah, I would.
Yeah, it was
or whatever company.
It definitely was whatever the survey company was. Yeah, I think
yeah.
That's who it was.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask another thing. How in the world can Donald Trump honor and martyrize? What's her name?
Ashley Babbitt.
Babbitt, yeah.
She is, as far as I'm concerned, a seditionist and traitor, what she was doing. She had no business being there. It was a sad situation, but she was involved in assaulting and trying to break in, yeah. And that one police officer had to defend the Capitol and defend people around him, the congressmen and senators, and it's unfortunate that it led to what happened, but she's not an innocent bystander.
Right, and I think I've heard him, or at least I've heard his answers to questions like, why did you shoot her so fast? He said, I didn't. Several times I told her to back off, back off, back off. And finally, as he said, he knew she was going to breach the opening. That's when he fired, and he's
yes, and if you're going to be involved in an assault on the Capitol building, the first since 1812, I'm sorry, you deserve what you get. And if she had survived, or she had not been shot, she should be in prison for at least 10 years. All those people. I know some of them getting away with very little.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as I'm concerned, I would really crack the whip on that.
Well,
but, of course, that's my thought. I'm not the judge. And that's bad because it gives the wrong message when it's too easy.
Some of them are getting some heavier punishment, but most of them are really, you know, a slap on the wrist. But and I yell at my television when I hear somebody gets, you know, a $1,000 fine and 10 days in jail, but disregarded, you know.
Yes, and what about Donald Trump not honoring Brian Sicknick, who died, and the others who committed suicide?
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything about the police, you know, the cops, the
right.
guards who were killed, and that is really disgraceful.
Right, yeah, I feel...
I don't think that Kevin McCarthy has said anything about them either, or any of the other Republican leaders. Nope.
I feel badly for Miss Babbitt's family and her, but she was the one that made the decision to do that.
Yes, if you go and you assault law and order in the way she did, you deserve it. But somebody in his car who's paraplegic, he can be stopped, but you can't rough him up and take him out when he can't get out of the car,
right.
And he can't walk, and his 3-year-old kid was in the back seat.
Yeah.
That's going to scar the kid for life, what happened.
Yeah, sure will. Well, have you ever been involved in heavy-duty protest, one where there was violence?
No.
I was involved in the one in Chicago back in 68. where
1968?
Yeah, when the cops came in and started beating heads and stuff like that.
So by at the time of the Democratic Convention in Chicago?
Yes, the Democratic Convention. The whole world is watching the Chicago 7, you know, all that.
Yeah, Chicago 8, I think it is.
Was it? I was there for
Chicago 7, maybe, yeah.
But I was there because I was there for my draft physical, and I happened to walk out of my draft physical, and somebody handed me a placard that said, come on down and at Grant Park, we're
oh my God. So what? So you did it?
So I went.
But you didn't get involved in quote violence, did
yes,
you?
Yes, it was. Yeah, there was a lady right next to me that got had her teeth kicked in by a kid who was. She didn't want him to bring down the American flag and put up the Vietnamese flag.
Oh, he actually had demonstrated against people that were demonstrating.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It was really violent. Well, so did he get harmed?
This lady was protesting against the Vietnam War, but yeah. she didn't want this young man to drag down the American flag, and so she was pulling on his leg, and he kicked her right in the face and knocked a tooth or two out.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
What happened to her after?
I don't know. People did come and grab her and take her off to someplace for medical help.
Yeah, well, when you get involved in a crowd that gets out of control, whether you planned it or not, it's a problem, yeah.
That's the whole point I was getting to. When you're in a crowd like that, things start to move and you don't have any control over it.
That's right.
When that started to happen for me, I walked over to a guy. They had a double line of police all the way around us. There were 15,000 police around us.
Wow.
And I walked over to a guy who had twin bars on his shoulder, and I thought that meant he was a captain. Well, I found out later it wasn't. But I said to him, "Captain," and the guys around him kind of chuckled at me that I called him Captain. I said, "Captain, I really have to go to the bathroom."
So you got out of this scene, basically.
Yeah, I said, "I have to go to the bathroom." And he said, "Okay."
Well, that's what you said?
Yeah.
He did
said,
you have
okay,
to?
Let this guy through, and I got out of there.
You made it up that you got to go to the bathroom, right?
I made it up. But
you lied. Oh, my God. You can't run for public office if you lie.
But I knew what was going to happen. I could see it starting to happen. People were getting hit with the billy clubs around me, so by the cops. So I was getting out of there. I had been a football player, but I didn't like that type of violence.
when you ran for the state legislature, right? Did anybody know that you had done that back then? You'd been in that crowd.
There were a lot of things that people didn't know. Nobody knows. I would have been glad to tell them. I'm proud that I was there. Actually.
Your opponent might have blown it up and said that you're lawless. She might have said.
Yeah, but I was not lawless. I've always been a law and order kind of
guy. I know,
guy,
I'm just kidding around with
no,
you.
No, I know. I knew you were.
That's funny, though.
Anyway.
Anyway, Chuck Grassley, you wanted to talk
about. Yes, Chuck Grassley.
He is, first of all, he's 88. He has another year to go, 89. He's running for another 6 years?
And
sorry, that has to be an absolute age limit. He should not be there. See, I know, of course, Tom Thurman was there to 100, and I know that Robert Byrd was there to 92,
yeah.
And they both, well, actually, Thurman did retire and die 6 months later, but I'm sorry. Hopefully he will not win that seat. It's a disgrace. He's been there for 40, oh, sorry, he's that word disgrace, by the way. I apologize to Scott. But 42 years by next year, it's enough. He's going to be in his 90s, and you know, even like Dianne Feinstein is halfway through her term to 88. She's going to be there in 91, and she seems out of touch. And I don't know if Grassley does, but come on, it's enough already.
Grassley, it's either his grandson or his great-grandson is running for office, and Trump just came out and endorsed him for some state office, I believe.
Oh, my God.
And I heard through the grapevine on TV where they were just shooting the bull, they were saying that there is some talk that Grassley, if he wins the vote, he will retire and pass it on to his great grandson or his
grandson. Well, that depends, because I would guess that it would be a temporary appointment by the governor, I guess, if
is that right?
Or else it would have to be another
state
election. He can't just hand it on. But you read that somewhere?
Yeah. Well, no, I heard it on, you know, they were a bunch of politician or political analysts.
On MSNBC?
You know, I don't know whether it was NBC or CNN.
Is this young man's name Grassley?
Yes, I believe it is.
You don't know the first name?
No, I don't.
Okay, Bob, so look, Grassley's grandson running for state.
He's 38
registration
years old.
In Iowa. I have to see if I can find out what this is all about. Well, you know, geez, why would it be his own son? Maybe his own son, I guess his son would be like 70.
Yeah, I was going to say his son's my age.
Maybe. Well, but, you know, we've had some people in their 70s be elected to office. Mitt Romney was.
Well, and, you know, every time I hear these old farts, excuse the expression, these old guys running for office, I think, why did I get out? I was only 73 when I got out.
Well, you could run again.
I guess I could. I don't want to, but I guess I could.
Yeah, maybe you can run for the Republican nomination for the Senate and overcome both J.D. Vance and Josh Mandel, wonderful human beings.
If I wanted to run, I'd have to run and win. I'd have to run on the Republican ticket right now in Ohio.
God. Well, that's why I'm concerned. The Republican Party in Ohio, as elsewhere, is becoming so right-wing.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
This is not what it should be. You know, it should be more like a Rob Portman kind of conservative Republican. You know, a decent guy, but not these people running now.
We have to start electing people that care about a democracy. The
only care about people, really.
Well, that's true. But first of all, so you're a jerk and you don't care about people and all you care about is money. We still need to maintain our democracy somehow.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's very worrisome what's going on.
Yeah, it scares me. My wife and I, we watch Rachel at night. We watch Lawrence at night. Those are the only two shows we watch anymore. We watch Nicole during the afternoon occasionally. But we've gotten to the point where usually we watch the first 15 minutes and turn it off because it's so depressing.
Yes, and I just wrote about the fact that a lot of conservatives, former Republicans, or people no longer, you know, affiliated with the Republican Party, like Christine Todd Whitman, the former governor of New Jersey and Environmental Protection Agency head under George W. Bush, and Miles Taylor, who was actually the young man who wrote the anonymous, article that caused a big uproar in 2019, attacking, we learned it was him, and Max Boot, the journalist and conservative writer, and they're saying the only answer is they were Republicans, they're no longer affiliated, and they're going to vote for Democrats, the only way to prevent authoritarian fascism.
Yeah, and I've heard them, some of those people talk, and they don't say they'll never vote for a Republican again. They just say this time around we need to vote Democratic because it's just the Republicans have lost their nut.
Yes, and all three of these and many others voted for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Even though they're not Democrats. So it's almost like they have to do whatever they can to destroy the Republican base that's so sick and right-wing extreme in order to bring it back, or maybe have a new party. As I said, the Republican Party may need to be put in the dustbin of history, and a new responsible and reasonable conservative alternative to the Democrats needs to be created from scratch, a little like the birth of the Republican Party and the death throes of the Whig Party in the 1850s, because that's what happened then.
Do you think that we're going to put people who do not respond to the subpoenas, do you think we're going to put them in jail?
I mean, like the people that have been subpoenaed?
Well, like
I think
Bannon.
They need to be, especially, you know, it's Steve Bannon. Oh,
yeah.
My God. He already was pardoned by Trump, but he still could be charged again and end up in prison. No, I think, you know, they have to be really have hard line toward all these people. They have to testify, and that should include Kevin McCarthy, the House Republican minority leader, because he had discussions with Trump on that day. We need to know and see his phone records. He's not entitled to say he cannot be questioned, and these people need to be held accountable.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I really, it makes me cringe when I think, well, if Republicans had been in power, Republicans are a lot tougher that way. I think there isn't a moment that would have gone by that they wouldn't have, if they subpoenaed somebody.
Well, look what they did to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
She had 11 hours of testimony. They could not show anything on her. Can you imagine anybody doing that? I have 11 hours of testimony by Kevin McCarthy, let's say?
Yeah, I don't
know. By Jim Jordan?
Maybe those guys are innocent of anything, but I kind of doubt it.
It's interesting. They were talking to MSNBC. Jim Jordan never wears a jacket. He's always in shirt sleeves. That's true. I've noticed.
Well, that's a trend in Ohio.
But he is. Oh, my
real
God.
Men.
He's one of the worst of the worst of the worst. He really is, you know?
Well, I'm not a big fan of his either. He was pretty well lambasted when he came and spoke off of the Harding porch. His house, Warden Harding's house, is here in Marion.
Yeah.
And you should see the new library that they've built here in
town. Oh.
It's really pretty. I haven't been in it yet.
That's a National Library?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Does
it have more than coloring books in it?
I don't know. No, that's...
I'm talking about what they used to say about George W. Bush.
That would be the Trump library.
I'm just kidding, yeah. But Harding, of course, is not rated very well in history.
No.
At least he's a gentleman. He's not like a Trump, you know?
Well, anyway, Jordan...
Oh, boy, that's good.
Jordan came and spoke off of his front porch and had a crowd, I would guess, of about 200 people.
This recently?
No, this was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, it's been around for a while, the library, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the library. Well, this wasn't the library. This was at Harding's house.
Oh, okay.
He used to give press conferences from his porch, and that's where Jordan decided he would give his conference. And
how large was the crowd, do you think?
I think the crowd is a couple hundred, but most of them were there to lambaste him. And he had a lot of detractors that were screaming at him.
They were booing him?
Yeah.
How did he react?
He smiled the whole time and told him, you know, he was smarter than they were and that sort of thing.
So, he got angry a little bit, though, huh?
I don't know. I couldn't judge it. Now, he has gotten angry at Scott here on our radio station.
Wow.
And Scott said, I'll have him back on, but I don't think he wants to come back on.
Wow.
Because he got really angry at Scott for asking him a question about the Ohio State athletic thing. And
that's being investigated, I assume, right? It's not dead in the water.
If he has anything to do with it, it might be dead in the water. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
But we will keep asking the question, what happened? Now,
yeah.
I've told you, I was an assistant athletic director at two different universities. I know that my assistant coaches knew what was going on in the locker rooms. That was part of their job, was to maintain order in the locker rooms and make sure the kids got in and out. And I know that Jordan has knowledge of what was going on. So anyway.
You think there was abuse going on?
Oh, I am absolutely certain.
Did the other coaches, you saw by the assistant coaches, reported at that time or not?
No, I'm saying my assistant coaches always would report. They did report to me or the athletic director if something bad was going on.
But that didn't generally happen in your situation, right?
We didn't
have
a lot of it, but we had a few instances. I had a young man who wore an earring, in his left ear. I guess that was wrong. That supposedly meant he was gay, and he was not gay. But his coach called him the N-word and said, "Get that blankety blank out of your ear."
He was also African American.
Yeah, he was African American, and then wouldn't play him. So
what was done about it?
Well, the young man who was the kid that was getting in trouble came into my office. Most of those kids knew that they could come into my office and I wouldn't spread the word.
So you resolved it, huh?
We did not. I did not resolve it. And that one, I asked him, I said, can I talk to the athletic director about it? And so I did go to the athletic director and explain what was going on. And it was not resolved to my satisfaction. But that's beyond nothing. You know, other than him being called the N-word and being abused.
Yeah, but nothing like what the abuse that went on supposedly with Jim Jordan was at Ohio State, yeah.
Absolutely not. Hey, we're getting down to our last minute 30. You got anything we got to talk about before I leave?
I've written a lot this week on the Progressive Professor.
Yeah.
The fact that Republicans in leadership and many in Congress are still perpetuating the big lie, and in a recent poll, Trump has 47% and Mike Pence has 12, and so does Ron DeSantis. So it looks like he's, at this point, if he decides to run, that he will be the nominee, but it's a horrifying thing. And also I wrote about Liz Cheney. Her race is very important in Wyoming, and she may actually, whether she wins or loses her seat, run for president to challenge Trump in the primaries, and maybe even run in a third party. Who knows?
I think she would be a good challenger. I wouldn't vote for her, but she'd be a good challenger. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least she cares and thinks which is something that we don't have a whole lot of going on in the Republican Party right now.
Yes. All right, time is just about up, so I want to thank you again, and I look forward to next week.
Okay, and we'll call you next week. Well, you'll call us next week, all right?
Yes, of course.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Feynman.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Later. Bye-bye. Dr. Feynman on our radio show, and he will be back next Wednesday. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. It's going to be a free-for-all tomorrow. I haven't really got it all planned out yet, so join us then on the air. Bye-bye.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics.